Hi, I'm Natalie.
And hi, I'm Benji.
And we are a counsellor, trauma therapist and a fitness instructor. We know that mental health and physical health go hand in hand, and this podcast is to help bring them two themes together, and maybe you might help to develop some new strategies.
Yeah, we're going to have plenty of discussions, and you're going to get to hear from the perspective of a fitness instructor and a therapist, which should be good. And hopefully, just by listening to this podcast, you might have a better day today.
And this episode is How to Manage My Anxiety.
I think this is going to be a really important episode for a lot of people. A lot of people have messaged us and spoken to us individually about anxiety as a topic, right, Nat?
Mm-hmm. It's my bread and butter, I suppose. I would say nearly 90, if not 100% of my clients, they talk about this word quite a lot. They talk about this, how they experience anxiety a lot of the time. And once people hear that I'm a therapist, they automatically say, oh, right, I've been to therapy before, or it's something I've never tried before, but I do suffer from anxiety. So I get that. I hear this word almost every single day, you know, so it's something that's very, very common.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of definitions of anxiety or feeling anxious. You know, it's such a broad thing, isn't it? And such a general way of describing a set of feelings. Would you agree?
Yeah, exactly. Anxiety is a word that we all use, but we all experience it very differently. And I suppose it's because we're all biologically made very differently. How you experience anxiety might be completely different to how I experience anxiety. So maybe this is be a good point for me to say that anxiety is a natural, normal emotion or feeling that we all experience at some stage of our life. And we actually need it to function and survive. It's a protective measurement, I suppose, even in very stressful times. So, you know, it's not always a negative thing. Normally we associate it with being a negative emotion or a negative feeling, but really it's an emotion that's there to protect us and keep us safe whenever we're under stress. Maybe it might be worth our while to discuss even, you know, what anxiety is like for people.
I mean, for me personally, I can be honest and say that anxiety's been something that has become more relevant for me as a description, certainly in more recent years. It's not something that I've honestly suffered with throughout my life or been aware that I've suffered with throughout my life. Mm-hmm. And I guess for me, there's kind of an old school way of thinking about it as just being nerves, you know, nerves and what we describe as being nervous or having or feeling like you've got butterflies in your tummy, for example. Those are very real and normal experiences that I personally have had. I used to go through things, for example, before a competition. I would, the night before, be up, unable to sleep, maybe sweating a little bit, up and down to the toilet, too much information. But, you know, I've experienced moments like that. And then before I go in for my fight and before I get onto the mat, I can't eat. You know, water is the only thing that I can take on. And then you're kind of overcome with this feeling of almost just panic to an extent. But all of those things I've always packaged as nervousness and as natural emotions to feel certainly linked to martial arts and being in that situation of competing, you know?
And, you know, that's a perfect example there of, you know, when nerves is normal, when it's normal for the situation that you're in, and you probably needed that to be able to perform and take part in the competition. If you didn't have that, you'd probably be too laid back, and I'm sure you'd get beat up. It wouldn't be a very nice experience.
So you need
an element of nerves to get you through that, or even for school exams or for a job interview. All them things is quite normal symptoms whenever you're in that situation. And I think coming from a Northern Ireland perspective, I would hear that a lot with, you know, with the young people, and I suppose even in my friendships and stuff like that, they would talk about that kind of nerves as well. But coming from Northern Ireland, a lot of people have suffered from what's known as the troubles, the conflict, where it can sometimes be a bit more extreme. It can be a bit more intense than just that nerves in your stomach or your butterflies, or, you know, experiencing, you know, whenever there's something really important coming up, it goes beyond that then, and that's when sometimes people can have an issue with it.
Yes, definitely. Mm. Now, how would you know if you're suffering with anxiety? Because for me personally, as I explained, you know, those are all very normal feelings and experiences.
Yeah.
And I'd be lying if I said that I've never had those physical manifestations of anxiety in other times, you know, and other areas in my life. You know, if I was going to do a presentation at work, for example,
mm-hmm.
I'd feel something quite similar,
yeah.
but never attribute it to feeling like I suffer with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just my perspective on it, because it's not really been a word that's been in my vocabulary
right.
Until very recently. But how would you know? How would you be able to really recognize that you maybe are suffering with some anxiety, good or bad,
mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's in your vocabulary or not?
Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind for me is there's not one size that fits all. You know, there's no description of how everybody should be when they're anxious, because, as I say, even, you know, the differences in our body. But I think the main characteristics is, normally when we talk about anxiety, it's not, you know, we assume, a lot of the time people say to me, it's all in my head, or I think like this, but a lot of it is experienced in our body. So people would experience palpitations, they'd experience, you know, they sweat, their stomach would feel sick, or they'd have, you know, discomfort in their digestive tract, they have aches, pains, they have difficulty sleeping. There's tons and tons of other symptoms as well that you might recognize, even like headaches, migraines, difficulty concentrating, a lot of physical symptoms in the body and the brain. And if it's going on, you know, that's natural if you have an exam or job interview, like you were saying there, a competition. If that is ongoing for a longer period of time, so weeks on, you know, or months on end, that's when maybe you should be saying, okay, is this normal for the circumstances? So if you're, say, you're sitting at home, you're watching TV, and there's nothing to be stressful about, you know, there's nothing to be stressed about, there's no competition or exam or interview or anything like that, and you're feeling them symptoms when you're supposed to be relaxed at home, that could be a warning sign then that, okay, maybe this is a bit more than just normal day-to-day anxiety that, you know, I need to get me through a certain situation. If it's ongoing, then that's the warning signs, okay, maybe I should do something about this then.
Yeah, okay. And what can we do? Mm-hmm. I know for me personally, those feelings of nervousness, if I apply it specifically to sport, they're kind of the distance between what I know at a particular period in time
mm-hmm.
and what I anticipate could be the potential outcomes in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So before I go onto a mat for my fight, I know what I'm capable of. I know how much training I've done. I know how I feel at that moment in time. But what I don't know is whether I'll win or not. I don't know what the outcome is going to be.
Mm.
And I guess it's that distance between where I am at that moment in time and anticipating where I might be in the future that is the space in which I guess we would say anxiety lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's so it seems to be around uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you deal practically with some of that uncertainty if those are some of the types of triggers for what we describe as anxiety?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that we think about that happens in the past, or a lot of things that we are focused on in the future, can cause us a lot of worry and stress, and that can cause us to feel anxious. I would say if you know that it's affecting your ability to function day to day, then maybe it's about, you know, seeking support through the GP or through a counsellor. Or, you know, if you're not being able to sleep, eat and stuff like that, maybe it's about getting somebody on board. If you can function to a certain extent, then maybe you could try some of the self-help treatments. Mindfulness, for example, there's a lot of positive evidence to show that mindfulness is very effective for management of anxiety. Exercise, like, you know, the benefits of exercise, you're releasing all them endorphins, increasing your what you call the happy hormones, your serotonin levels. you know, so a lot of self-help things, even speaking to somebody, even speaking to a family member and stuff like that, that can help, you know, manage if you're anticipating an up-and-coming event or something like that. But if it's affecting your day-to-day function, then that could be alarm bells that, okay, maybe I'm not managing this as best I can. Maybe I need to get a bit more, you know, professional help around this.
Yeah. And I think also that one of the things that's really come out of what you've just said is all of those things require you to take some action.
Yeah.
So are you suggesting that anxiety or those feelings of anxiety, particularly if they're not in those normal circumstances, which we alluded to earlier, mm-hmm. and if they're ongoing, there's no situation where you would just leave that, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, my recommendation, you know, would be just to reach out and seek support, because I think, why would you suffer? Why would, if that was ongoing and it's affecting your, you know, all them physical symptoms on the body, it's affecting your concentration, it's affecting your relationships with other people, why suffer? There's lots of help out there. You know, so take it if it's there. And there's a lot of treatments. People, when you're anxious, and I don't want to go into too much in depth here, but I think when you're anxious, you know, your logical thinking doesn't always work effectively, you know, so you can't think straight. So, you know, by getting, just by speaking to somebody else or somebody who understands what anxiety is like, they can help bring some clarity to your thinking and rationalize things and just help you get back up on your feet. So there is a lot of things that can help, you know, improve anxiety. So just, for me personally, I've suffered from anxiety, and I don't think it's, you know, I've been able to manage it and overcome it with support sometimes, you know, so I just don't see why anybody would suffer. You know, there's lots of help there. Take it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I guess it's kind of just as important almost as something like DIY or even maybe even something like weight loss. You know, if you've got a leak in your home, and your ceiling's leaking, you wouldn't sit there, you know, you'd take almost immediate action. You'd mm-hmm. perhaps start by seeing a dark patch appear on the ceiling, and that might be something that you sort of choose to ignore mm-hmm. in the first instance.
Yeah,
but by the time that leak becomes so significant that it's consistently there and there starts to be drips coming through, that those are your real warning signs that this is something that is happening and recurring,
yeah,
and something that needs to be addressed. Now you wouldn't leave that drip, right?
Definitely not.
You'd attend to it for, in the first instance, maybe something like a bucket, which could be that first layer that you described of maybe talking to somebody, mm-hmm. you know, within the family, and then the next level would be to do some investigation, which you would do by yourself, which again kind of is a little bit like that step of the self-help, the things that you've spoken about that you can do for yourself, like mindfulness, mm-hmm. thinking about, you know, meditating and thinking about maybe doing some exercise and creating some routines. Mm-hmm. And then once you're up there and you discover that that still doesn't fix the leak, then seeking some professional support. So I guess maybe if you look at it like DIY,
yeah,
you know, or like something in the home that, you know, we wouldn't let fester because we know of the long-term damage it can cause. Mm-hmm. I guess we should really begin to see anxiety in that way.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, even whenever you think of all them different layers, sometimes when you get to the top layer where you feel that the leak's massive and the water's just gushing through, what are you going to do, you know, about that? A lot of clients say to me, I don't know what to say. I don't know what they're going to ask me. I don't even know how to describe this. Don't worry about them kind of things. When you get to that stage, that's what the GPs are there for. That's what the counselors are there for. They're there to guide and support you. And they take the lead then. When somebody's at that stage, you know, they will take the lead. But I always say a lot of clients, they leave it until it snowballs, until it is unmanageable or more intense to manage. Don't let it snowball. Don't let it build up and build up and build up. The support is there. Take it before it gets to that stage. Take it before, you know, you're having to replace the whole roof, basically. Take it when it is small, because what I find is people, they hold off, you know, until it is affecting every aspect of their life. I always say early intervention is get in there. Don't leave it until you are firefighting. You know what I mean? And don't worry if you don't know the right words or how to describe it, or, you know, because sometimes there is no words to describe what you're feeling in your body, but that's what, you know, that's what the professionals are there to do. That's what my job and, you know, GPs and other mental health practitioners are there to do. We're there to help get your head around all that and understand that and look at all the signs and symptoms in the body and manage it a bit better then.
It is really key, I guess, to assess those triggers and those warning signs early on, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's about knowing that even whenever, you know, we see the warning signs, there's a lot of clients, they have ongoing stressors in their life. They have stressors that sometimes they can manage. And I would encourage, if you can reduce some of the stress that you're under, you know, take some of the workload off, you know, do whatever you can to reduce your stress levels. And your everyday stress management is so important. If that is something, you know, that's ongoing, if you're, say you're caring for a sick loved one, or you're under a lot of financial pressure, or I don't know, health complaints yourself or whatever it might be, you know, them kind of things, if it's ongoing stress that there's nothing that you can really do about it right now at the moment, then, you know, that's where the likes of maybe a therapy or a session or doing, you know, something that's going to make you feel good, like an exercise class, would be really important. Then that's what I would say, self-care, and knowing when you're reaching your limits, knowing whenever you are firefighting, or when, you know, when you're getting, whenever you're struggling to manage this by yourself, be proactive then and seeking that support and doing something that makes you feel good. If you can't manage that stressor at that time, you know, but if you can, try and see, is there any element? And it doesn't have to be a big drastic change suddenly, just small baby steps and changing, you know, one aspect. Maybe it's about taking an extra half hour break in the afternoon or something like that to cope with the amount of pressure that you're under, or I don't know, maybe it's trying to go to bed a bit earlier at night or something like that. Food and mood is very much connected, you know, so even watching your diet's really important, because there's some things I would say, I would hear a lot of clients say, I drink a lot of coffee, or they've beaten a lot of sugar, and that can even heighten up things in your body in terms of anxiety, you know. So even just watching your diet and how that, and managing your diet, that could even change how you mentally feel, you know, or emotionally feel. And knowing you're not alone, there's many, many people who have experienced this, and there's many, many people who can overcome or manage their anxiety and live a very healthy, happy life, you know. So it doesn't have to be the end of anything, or, you know, it doesn't have to be massive. It can be managed. So knowing that you're not on your own with this, there's many people who experience it, and there's many people who can help.
Great. Well, I think we've covered quite a lot, and I hope that's really brought some more insight from the perspective of a professional on recognizing anxiety and really defining what anxiety is for you. There is no one size fits all, and the way you may experience what we describe as anxiety might be different. But the really key thing here out of this podcast is making sure that you take action. Anxiety and stress is not really something that you want to allow to fester. It's not something that's easy to deal with, but it's something that has to be dealt with to get the best out of yourself. So please take that away from this episode. If you see the signs of you becoming anxious, if it's something that doesn't disappear, if it's something that regularly affects the way in which you behave, then absolutely, let's start by trying to address it in one of those simple ways that we've discussed earlier in this podcast. Mm. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Let us know what you think, and get in touch. Stay tuned and ready for the next episode. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a good day. Bye-bye.